From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Written more than 200 years ago, Jane Austen's novel Pride and Prejudice has been adapted in films, a wildly popular television series, and inspired horror novels, mysteries, gay, Amish, and fan fiction, YA novels, and even more movies, like Bridget Jones' Diary.
The Darcys are here. They brought Mark with them. You remember Mark? Used to play in his paddling pool. He's a barrister, very well off.
No, I don't remember.
He's divorced, apparently.
Who? Ding Dong.
A new novel called Unmarriageable sets the stinging social satire, memorable characters and plot in contemporary Pakistan, where marriages, as author Sonia Kamal puts it, continue to be arranged on the basis of convenience, pedigrees, and bank balances. Well, we are meeting some of the writers appearing at the upcoming Savannah Book Festival, and now Atlanta-based Sonia Kamal is among them. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Virginia.
Well, thanks for being here. Pride and Prejudice was written in 1813. Now, this is when respectable English ladies didn't work, couldn't inherit property, and marriage involves strategic social engineering. Is that still true in Pakistan?
The last one very much is. Pakistani women are now highly accomplished. They're pilots, they're CEOs, they're doing so much around the world. One of the most famous popular Pakistani women, which we are all aware of, I'm sure, is Malala Yousafzai, Nobel Prize winner. So as you can see, Pakistani women have come a long way from the Regency era. However, that very last contingent about social status, class, that still remains pretty applicable.
Right. And this book is set, it has scenes in Lahore and Karachi and Islamabad. The Binat family live in this kind of fictional backwater town. This is set in 2000. Why 2000?
To 2000 and 2001. And as you know, this is, having read it, this is a parallel retelling. Mm-hmm. So I very much wanted to hit all the plot points, and where the originality, I hope, comes in is in the character development, et cetera. So because I go, I talk more about my Charlotte Lucas, my mm-hmm. Mr. Collins. We see a lot of the characters developed and stuff. But as well as a parallel retelling plot-wise, I also very much wanted to touch on other things Austen does. So Austen is often held up to not having incorporated the greater things going on in her world at that time, such as the Napoleonic Wars. You know, Austen had brothers who were in the Navy. She had a cousin, Eliza, who was married to a French aristocrat, and he was guillotined. So she was very aware of the world around her. So the reason I said it in Unmarriageable in 2000-2001 was I wanted to give contemporary readers a taste of, as we all know, in 2001, a pretty big world event took place. And one of the sections in Unmarriageable literally ends at August 2001. And I'm thinking a reader will now expect a certain thing to happen. And, you know, it doesn't. Hmm. And I wanted to sort of mirror and parallel once again that Austen did not necessarily bring the larger world events into her work, but they were hinted at. They were definitely there. For instance, in Pride and Prejudice, the militia is there. Wickham, etc., they're part of the army. I tried to do as much paralleling as I could.
Well, there is a very 2000 characters, a gay character, there's an interracial romance,
yes.
Premarital pregnancies, gossip magazines. Some of them actually smoke, some of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
But this is also a story.
Pakistani women smoke. I mean, it's still quite frowned upon per se. But you know, we do what we have to do, and people can keep frowning. After all, you know, we're Pakistan. We're a modern country, and yeah, women do smoke.
And the lead character, the Elizabeth Bennet character, is called Alisba Binat. And there's so many strains in here. You know, we get class, we get religion, we get the vestiges of colonialism and the need for girls' education. And she's teaching high school and she's endeavoring to get girls to push beyond thinking about their roles of just wife and mother. So how does she try to get them to think differently?
You know, I will answer this question by returning to the smoking for a second. This novel, Unmarriageable, and neither do I advocate smoking in any way, shape, and form. It's just that as we've seen in a lot of popular culture, in movies, and a lot of especially in the, you know, smoking was one of the few things which was frowned for women to do in a lot of different countries and cultures. It's very acceptable for men to smoke. So often women would take up smoking, as Betty Davis, for instance. You know, some of her smoking scenes are they're very much part of rebellion and being a bold woman who will do what a man does. And my reason for bringing smoking into Unmarriageable is definitely not to advocate for it, mm-hmm. but to it's still very much frowned upon in many respects in Pakistan. So it's basically to just show a certain characterization. But, you know, so in the same respect, my Elizabeth Bennett, Alice Bennett, teaches. She's a school teacher. She teaches English literature, and she's the small town, the fictional town I created, Dilipabad. The girls over there tend to, they come from feudal families. They come from families where marriage is definitely the end all and be all, and they're encouraged to get married young. And as we see in the novel in the opening chapter, a lot of the girls definitely do want to get married. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is not a book. Unmarriageable is certainly not a book against marriage. At all, but it is a book which questions cultures where there is an intense pressure to get married, and whether that pressure really leads to your being your best self, especially if you get married young. You know, have you really seen enough of the world yet to know not just that you want to get married, but perhaps who you want to get married to? Although, you know, in still cultures where arranged marriages are the norm. But you know, people do choose each other. I mean, we have a certain sense of arranged marriage being a forced marriage where, you know, you just have to get married. There's no single story in Pakistan. Pakistan, you know, one's Pakistan is very much determined by the class they are born into there, as well as the family they belong to within that class. So you can be very rich and nevertheless have certain constraints set upon you, and you can be not that rich and yet be very progressive in your outlook in life. So it depends, you know, once again, no single story in Pakistan, and I tried to show as many stories as I could in Unmarriageable through the Bennett sisters, my five sisters, the students that Alice has, through Charlotte Lucas, who is my Sherry Lucas, mm-hmm. in the novel. So,
and the best friend.
The best friend, yes. The best friend, a very fleshed out best friend.
Yeah.
Charlotte Lucas is, I have to say, in all of Austen's oeuvre, my favorite character. So,
my guest is Sonia Kamal. She's author of Unmarriageable. It's a novel described as Pride and Prejudice in Pakistan, and she's among the authors who are going to be at the Savannah Book Festival in February. Well, it is actually wonderfully meta also. She's teaching her students Pride and Prejudice. Now, she herself is a woman of 31 in a society that assumes a single woman couldn't possibly be happy, including her students, you know, and they call her unmarriageable. She points out that she's single. What's
right.
the difference? There.
Unmarriageable is the label that society and people give you for why they think you are not getting married. And single is very much a choice you decide for yourself that you want your status to be.
Right. Well, we learn a lot about Pakistan culture and history. We get the clothing and food and the expressions, verbal expressions. The novel, film stars and entrepreneurs take place of the kind of English aristocracy in the book. And instead of grand balls, we have this elaborate three-part wedding unfolding in the book. Did you feel, Sonia, that you needed to educate American readers?
Oh, absolutely not. I wrote the novel I wanted to write. This is a novel that I hope resonates with everyone from everywhere, for Pakistanis, for Americans, for Nigerians, for everyone around the world, for people from Norway. So no, it definitely was not written. And I think no writer worth their salt writes for any audience in particular. They write for themselves. You know, so yeah, no, this is not a book to educate anyone. If anyone gets educated about Pakistan, which often, I mean, let's be honest, sometimes the only window people have to a certain country and culture is through news headlines. And those news headlines obviously do not give you a 360-degree picture of any one country or culture. I remember growing up when I was in Pakistan back in the day, you know, a lot of times what we would see on TV would be soap operas like Bold and Beautiful and Baywatch. And, you know, so, you know, it would be very unfair for people to think that the entirety of America is women running around on beaches and you know, in soap operas like Bold and Beautiful, everyone constantly hooking up. So you know, so it's the same thing with Pakistan. You know, what we see sometimes through the news and stuff is very much just one a certain perspective. And I'm hoping that Unmarriageable can definitely, you know, offer a bigger picture of what Pakistan and Pakistani culture is, because it's vibrant, it's wonderful, it's modern, it's there's a lot more going on than what we see on the news.
Well, in addition to headlines, we also get literature, you know, the books of places. And this is an ongoing conversation in your novel about the universal language of literature, you know, of Charles Dickens and Virginia Woolf and Flannery O'Connor, all of whom write in English. And this is tied with this complicated legacy of colonialism. Like, you grow up reading those books if you go to a good, proper school. Is this something that you have wrestled with?
Oh, absolutely, in many respects. I mean, I grew up in what is known as the English medium system. So my education was in English, and I was a student of British literature. So everything I read was pretty much British literature. I came very late to literature of Pakistan, indigenous literature, and I'm very much dependent on translations, per se, because English is the language I was schooled in and taught. I wanted to be able, you know, we are a post-colonial country. Pakistan is, it came, became a sovereign nation in 1947. That said, the legacy of colonialism still lingers in countries where, you know, the British Empire, any empire, happens to decide that they own it. So language is one of the ways that you know, the British are still pretty much in Pakistan. But, you know, one of the questions I definitely wanted to wrestle with, and one of the conversations that my Elizabeth Bennett and Mr. Darcy, who is named Valentine, and Valentine's Day is coming up, but you know, have in the novel is, how do we, if you are a post-colonial nation, what do you do with the vestiges of colony? You know, do you try to erase them completely? Do you try to incorporate them in your future? What do you do with them? And I hope I've been able to answer them to in some way, shape, or form in the novel.
And you certainly incorporated, you know, a beloved story.
Yeah, and you know, you bought up the books. There is a conversation in the novel very much. I've mentioned a lot of novels and books in the in Unmarriageable. Toni Morrison comes up in one of the
dialogues. Jamaica Kincaid, Marjane Satrapi.
Yes, you know, a lot of Pakistani authors, Ismat Chughtai, Manto Atiya Hussain, you know, so I tried to give a huge overview of a lot of different Flannery O'Connor. But, you know, like one of the conversations in Unmarriageable is two of the characters are trying to impress Mr. Valentine Darcy, hoping that he'll marry them. And, you know, they're trying to show off, but he's into books and stuff, and they're trying to show off. He owns the school system that I talk about in Unmarriageable. And they're showing off about their so-called knowledge of international literature. So one of them says to Alice that, oh, yes, and you assigned this book called The Blackest Eye. And then her sister says, no, it was The Bluest Eye. And, you know, so there's a play there about you know, post-colonialism, or what it means to be a minority culture, and you know, the Bluest Eyes by Toni Morrison, and the hints, a lot of the hints about the post-coloniality that I have tried to highlight in Unmarriageable definitely are come through in the novels that I've mentioned. You know, you brought up Jamaica Kincaid, and
It's a fascinating and wonderful book, and I want to thank you, Sonia Kamal.
Thank you so much for having me.
She's author of Unmarriageable, one of the authors appearing at the upcoming Savannah Book Festival, February 15th through 17th. And you'll be hearing more on this series and on Second Thought. Back after a break, on Second Thought's going to continue.